are so excited because today I have Angela Reagan here. And like I said, I have been dying to talk to her about her lifestyle, her past, present, and future, because she has quite, I think she has a handful of amazing stories and experiences to share with us. And so I know that we are all going to be inspired by this wonderful woman. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, this is so great. This is so great. So when I first met Angela, it was actually in a bar class over at the Workout Club. And I had met her a few times, but was she really stuck in my mind this one particular day. It was actually coming up to Easter, and she told me, well, she told the entire class about the birth story of one of her daughters, which is pretty incredible. And we will get to that if she...
Alicia,
I think.
Okay, so, yeah.
if she decides to share that, but... Yes, so she's got so many experiences that we can all learn and grow from. So, all right, so let's dive in. So first I need to know.
Fighting.
I mean, who are you? Where did you come from? I know you have a really, amazing.
Where did we all come from?
Oh, we could get into that. I think we could talk for hours on that.
Exactly, I know.
So I know you have like such a great, strong, every time I talk to you, you're talking about your family and your kids and your grandkids. And, you know, so I'm always so curious, you know, let's let everybody know. So tell me about your family dynamic. Like, how many kids do you have?
Okay, so as you know, I have 6 children. Mm-hmm. Total of 8 children. Mm-hmm. All my children.
That's awesome.
And I say all my children because although I gave birth naturally to 6 of them, mm-hmm. we're a blended family. And I consider us all one unit.
Yeah.
And that's very important to me because I do come from a large family that there was a lot of division in my family. Mm-hmm. And I had vowed that if I was ever in the situation that my mother was in, that we wouldn't use terminology that made the children feel separate like mm-hmm. me and my siblings did.
Yeah.
So that was very important to me. And, you know, so that's how we roll.
Yeah.
Well, that's, me and my hubby.
I mean, that's amazing.
Hi, honey. I love you.
Yeah. That's amazing. A lot of people don't even have that foresight to even think about that.
Yeah. You know? I just think that I look at it too like this. It's like if people, you know, they go and adopt children. It's not their biological child. It's not their blood. What's the difference? They love them just the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's no reason why that love can't be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've always believed,
know?
So, and I'm very passionate about it. My children are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. To each of their own. You know?
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure they all have, like, very unique personalities.
They do. They do. There's a few in there.
We talk to women all the time, and everything always looks like it's so perfect on the outside.
Yeah.
But we all know, like, if we actually really stop and look at each other and talk to each other and understand, like, what each person is going through on a day-to-day life, you know, it's really empowering because you actually learn, you know, not just like, you know, when you're looking on Instagram or Facebook, like, oh, that person looks like they have it all together.
Right.
But you actually learn, like, how much strength we actually do have because I don't care who you are, everybody is dealing with something, you
right.
know, whatever the scale and the spectrum is. But we all, like, need to learn from each other instead right. of, like, being in competition with each other.
That's so true. That's
yeah.
so true, especially, like, working at the gym and everything. I think that, you know, as women, I mean, we tend to just... We beat ourselves up. We pick ourselves
mm-hmm.
apart.
Yes.
And oftentimes, I mean, I can't speak for other women, but I never feel good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always trying to improve. I think that that's women in nature
mm-hmm.
because we're so strong. And you just always want to be the best that you can be for your family
mm-hmm.
and for yourself.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, when do you ever reach that level? And I can honestly say at this point in my life, at 46 years old,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting there.
I'm going. Yeah. Well, and you know what? And the thing is, you know, you probably don't even have any idea how many people you're...
And I'm a train wreck.
But you probably have no idea how many people you're encouraging, you know, yeah, and you know, inspiring along the way.
They say, you know, and I talked to my husband too, because, you know, he said to me last night, we were out, and he was like, you know, I've always been his inspiration. Mm-hmm. And he's always been mine. You know what I mean? So I
That's
look at
sweet.
Yeah. I look at it like, and you know, but I look at everybody that I meet. I mean, in my sister, Nina, like she's an amazing woman. My sister, Marie, just every person that I meet, they inspire me mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form. It's not so much as it has anything to do with me. It really has to do all about them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, God created us all very special and different.
Yeah.
And we all have something amazing to offer this world mm-hmm. and to each of their own. I'm just happy to be a part of it. Yeah. So I just look at it like, you know, when I meet somebody, mm-hmm. I see what I can learn from them mm-hmm. to help me be a better person. And then what ends up happening is that we help each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that all happens at the gym when they're signing up, actually. And it happens at the grocery store. Oh, it happens everywhere I go, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's great because that's your mindset and you're open to that.
Oh, everybody too.
You know? And
everybody's like all a part of that. There is no, you know what I'm saying? Like there is no judgment zone for me mm-hmm. because I just love people and I love being here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how long you're going to be here.
yes forget it there
right
yeah because I have like two kids mm-hmm. not like two kids I have two kids and I you know sometimes feel like I'm treading water right mm-hmm. and I can't imagine having eight kids you right. know it's like how do you actually do it all so
right.
You know, I could either just, like, bury my head in mm-hmm. my overwhelm, you know, or I could...
And I used to do that.
Take your point of view.
Yeah, because, you know what, I didn't always have... There was always a part of me that was very strong-minded, even at the age of 16 when I had my daughter, Christina. Mm-hmm. And it was always like, okay, this is my bed. I have to lay in it. Mm-hmm. And even though I had to lay in it, and that has a lot to do with my Catholic faith and upbringing, uh-huh. even though I had to lay in it, I wanted to, the intent was to be the best mother that I could. If I couldn't be a lawyer, which I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay, that was your first dream.
Yeah, I love negotiating and I love contracts and I love all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I love being in the courtroom. Yeah, lawyer, dancer. I don't know because I always dance. I always wanted to be a dancer.
But I want to get more into your experiences, but before we do that, I kind of want to find out, like, what's your definition of healthy?
I guess that's a hard question. What is my definition of healthy? The definition of healthy is, I mean, it's mind, body, and spirit.
I think
they all are intertwined. And when one is not good, the other is not good. Mm. And for me, I mean, it's very personal because of the things that I have been through, which you're aware of, some of the stories. But for me, one doesn't work without the other. And it all has to do with my spirituality, too.
Yeah.
So it's like if one is lacking,
yep.
then I'm lacking altogether. Okay. So I have to make sure I'm mentally healthy, physically healthy, mm-hmm. putting the right foods in my body as well as feeding my spirituality.
Yeah.
And when I have all of those aligned, I'm a powerhouse. When one is off, mm-hmm. I'm a train wreck. But I struggle every day. Every day I struggle to get those all aligned. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's when I'm my best me. I'm nothing without God, I say that. I'm nothing without him. He's my everything. So that's my spiritual. So I start the day with him and I end the day with him. Mm-hmm. And then I have my physical where at the workout club, you know, I go and Kathleen, love her. She's my spin instructor. And there's many others too, but I love Kathleen. But she'll play music because now I work at the workout club instead of actually being able to work out at the workout club. So Kathleen, she'll play my music because she knows in that that class saved my life, and she knows what music did that. So she'll play that music, and I'll hide my sneakers in the bathroom.
Yep.
And then I'll go and I'll go change my sneakers and I'll go jump on and I'll be like, I just need 15 minutes. Get me on. It's in the dark so nobody sees me. And then I'll come out like all refreshed and reformed so I get my mental.
Yep.
And then they're always looking for me like, you know, where's the Angela? I'm always getting in trouble. So I get my mental. And then my physical, you know, as far as nutrition-wise, I do try to eat healthy. Most people know that I'm a garbage disposal. And that I love food. Me and my husband, we love food. And it's just, I teety off of, you know, my steak bombs and my pizza and my chicken piccata, you know, versus salads and salmon and chicken. And so I do this all of the time, you know.
So it's a balance is what you're saying. Which is really great to hear and to reaffirm, because so often when I talk to women, it's just like about being perfect. So I have a program called 12 Weeks to Boss, and we're going through that with a group of women. And of course, like, we teach like the proper, you know, like the clean eating principles and everything that you're saying that you balance it off with.
Oh.
But then there's the other side that a lot of times we have a hard time with, because if, you know, sometimes we feel like if we go off the like health track at all, like we're just the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just are so hard on ourselves. So that's really good to hear and like have the reaffirmation that.
Yeah. That, I mean, I struggle all the time, and it's like as you get older, you know what I mean? Your body's really telling you what it needs, and you have to be able to listen to it, and you have to be able to decipher between, okay, you want to know what my sugar, I'm a sugar fanatic. I'm a candy fanatic. I have all of these issues. My husband, like, he'll tell you, you know, I got my Starburst, my Twix bars, my Milky Way, all of my dry, you know, and I love candy. I've always loved candy as a little girl. That's my thing. But, as I get older, I have to stop. I don't have that draw filled anymore. I still love my sugar. You know what I mean? I still have it in my coffee and everything else. But I'm backing off from it because I notice that I'm crashing and burning. You know what I mean? Like, my energies are high and then I'm at a low. Energies are high and I'm at a low. And I'm just trying to stay the path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, too, it's important for me, too, and this is, and I don't know if we have time to even dive into this subject, but I definitely suffer from depression, and that is a whole other, I don't know if you want to go there with that, but yeah, it's a whole other ball game, and I struggle with that, you know, so it's very important for me to make sure that I'm working out. You know, make sure that I'm doing the right things simply because I don't want to, like, go off the deep end. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to go into that dark place. If I could put it in such a way, it's a very dark place versus a very light place. And I have to work really hard to see the light without medication, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, And the thing is too, you know, it every day, like, I don't know what's going to happen. So some days I'll wake up and it'll be like a crash and burn. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like nobody's there. Nobody's home. It's just dark. You know what I mean? Like that place where you don't want to live. And then, so I need to make sure that I get up and I have my protein, I have my water, and I do my physical activity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To get
the chemical factory going?
It has to. Yeah. So that I'm okay. And it really, it's a matter of survival for me every day. It's a struggle.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's incredible. Sometimes we discount, you know, how important those things are, you know, because we always think, well, we'll save that for later. And even if we're in a funk, you know, because depression is not selective, you know, anybody can get depressed for a period, and there's different degrees, and it's, you know, it's something that,
well, there's situational depression, you know, there's chemical, there's clinical, you know, there's all kinds that of different categories, and it's basically, with my journey, I'm just trying to figure out which one it is, and I have figured it out. Mine's is definitely a chemical, and that's not my doing. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And it's like,
yeah,
it's different from somebody that's, you know, going through a divorce, let's say something right. as mm-hmm. traumatic as that, and they're depressed and they feel sad.
Right.
Versus one day I can be full of life and my life is good. And then when I wake up the next morning, no one's home. And it's like, okay, it's back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's here. I'm not obviously releasing serotonin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's actually relates to low serotonin.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. And I learned that, and I don't know if you want me to elaborate on that.
Sure.
Okay. This is a story.
Okay. All right. So about, I would say about 4 years ago, me and my husband were trying to have a child. And I figured that, you know, we have 8 beautiful children and that we had, and our marriages weren't healthy prior to. We were each married for 22 years prior to. And the marriages weren't healthy. And, I mean, obviously, that's the reason why they ended. So I didn't understand why I couldn't have, you know, a child with somebody that is the love of my life. It didn't mm-hmm. make sense to me, mm-hmm. you know, so... you know, we were trying and it wasn't happening. And then it started happening. And I became pregnant, and that was with, Max, who's my little angel in heaven, our little angel in heaven, little Max.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. You know? And that was devastating, losing him. And, I almost lost my life as well. So make a long story short without keeping you here for hours. I had lost 50% of my blood when I was losing him in the miscarriage, and they couldn't stop the bleeding. So, I had gone into like a cardiac arrest. My husband had come in at that moment.
Oh, wow.
And they were losing me.
How far along were you?
2 months.
Oh, okay.
I was 2 months with him, to be exact. Yeah. And it's crazy because because I had found out right away, you know what I mean? So it was like, I missed him here today. And then I found out I was pregnant with mm-hmm. him. So we were 2 months in with him, and, make a long story short, I ended up almost dying, and they wanted to do a blood transfusion in that moment. And, my husband said, you're not going to go and put someone else's blood into my wife. I want to give her the ability to grow her own blood back. I'll take her home and take care of her. And that's what he did. So they were able to stop the bleeding.
Wow.
Yeah. Grew my blood back. And, you know, I mean, I was obviously going through the postpartum depression
mm-hmm.
and everything. And then I got pregnant again with Grace. And the same thing. So it was approximately the same time along. And we thought Grace was... we went to go hear the heartbeat, you know, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no heartbeat.
Oh.
So... that was devastating because it was like, what do you mean? I was at my healthiest. I was at my strongest and everything. And, so there was no heartbeat, and him and I just left that day, and we went to the chateau, and we just sat there and we just cried. And it was actually the first booth at the chateau that we had had our first lunch. So we just sat there and we just sobbed. There was no words, you know what I mean? And it was devastating because I didn't understand. Yeah, I just didn't, like, how can I have all these, like, getting pregnant and having a child was factual. Boom. There was no turning back when I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But I was younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was the difference in time? How long had it been?
I was 40. So, from 32, I want to say, I'm trying to think. Aubrey's 17. So I'm 46. So I think that was like around 32 or something like that. So then it was in my 40s when him and I started to try again. And then, so, you know, after losing mm-hmm. them, I was devastated, and my chemicals I was never the same. Like after Max, like when I grew my own blood back, I was never the same. I was depressed, and I thought it was maybe just the postpartum, but it wasn't. It's actually chemical.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had all kinds of testing done, and they checked my thyroid and everything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my thyroid, it wasn't anything, and they wanted to put me on all kinds of antidepressants, and like Zoloft, Prozac, Xanax, you name it, they were throwing it at me, and I just said there has to be another way. Mm-hmm. Like that I can't live like this.
Yeah.
You know, it was just really dark for me. And so I was like that for a very, very long time. And I don't know if I've ever been the same.
So that was like a, not like one day, you know.
Oh, no. This was day after day.
Oh, yeah. This is a long period of time.
Yeah. So
when did you come out of that?
Well, I'll never forget it. My granddaughter, she came over and she kissed me on the cheek. Mm-hmm. And I had been on Zoloft, which is an antidepressant. And I just remember, you know, looking at her and I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel the kiss. I just looked at her like I'm here, mm-hmm. but I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
The antidepressants, they mask, you know?
Yeah.
So we go back to Max, when I lost Max and I had to grow my own blood back, my chemicals were off from that point on. I was never that woman prior to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was always happy, outgoing, and I could handle anything.
Yeah.
And then that happened, and then the loss of Grace. And so I just never was the same again. And so I figured, you know, I have to do something because I can't live like this. So it was in that moment where she kissed me, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. Like, either these kids are going to lose a mother because I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, going to lose a mother. I would think about just getting in that car and just... Right, going, and if it went off a cliff, it did, and I didn't care. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I know that's terrible to say, but when you live in that dark place of depression, which is why there's suicide, mm-hmm. honestly, you can't. It's so horrific to live there because there's no light comes on. There's no love. You don't feel anything. And I have a beautiful life. I have a beautiful home and a beautiful husband. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I mean, even the thought of like leaving, you know, my sister, love my sister, you know, her and I have been through everything together, but just in general to leave my family, mm-hmm. like, how dare you even think like that? Mm-hmm. But I thought it every day. And, so for me in that moment, I jumped off the medication.
Oh, so it was worse on the medication.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't that wasn't the right medication for me. I had tried amitriptyline and other things prior to. But what antidepressants do is it's just a mask. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help you live life to your fullest. Mm-hmm. And it just basically, you're like a zombie, you know? You're just going through life. You don't have a zest and a love for life. You can't feel what you would naturally feel because you're not there. It masks you from feeling highs and serious lows where you're just kind of like this. So you're just like a zombie going through life. And I'm the kind of person where I can't live like that because yeah. I'm a nutcase. You know what I mean? Like, I love life and I love people and I need to feel something here, you know?
Yeah.
So in any case, so in that moment, I remember going to bed that night and I was sobbing and I said to God, you better do something because, you know, I'm about to peace out. I'm done. And he said, I gave you a brain. Go learn about it. So I did. So I started researching the brain and I found out, and there's a couple of different things. So serotonin is made in the gut mm-hmm. and it's also made in the brain.
Right.
It simply wasn't my thyroid. It wasn't all of these things. It wasn't anything. I just needed to be able to be my own doctor and get my own medicine. That's really what it came down to. And that's when I walked through the doors of the workout club. And then that's where I found Kathleen, which is spin class, you, Mary, yoga, vinyasa mm-hmm. yoga, and just everything about exercise. So
you weren't exercising in your life prior to that?
No.
Never?
No, just once in a... Nothing and anything to write home about. No.
Yeah.
No, it was just like I belonged to a club when I lived in Drakett, but I didn't. It was just to look good. I'm like, okay,
so you had,
my
like,
legs.
Cute outfit.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't for the mental. But what I learned, you know, there is that in spin class, I was actually able to release my own endorphins and serotonin. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that moment. You know, it was in the dark, and it was to, and my husband knows this, the song AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Oh, yeah. Just because this one's losing you.
Okay. So it was to AC/DC Thunderstruck. The song. Mm-hmm. So I did for 2 straight minutes, 145 RMs, what? Whatever they call it. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought
that's
it was
fast if you have never been on a spin bike. That's
it's
like,
fast. Yeah.
They tell you don't go that fast. I
but I literally thought that I was flying. So when I walked in here, not only was it dark, but I was in that dark place. And then for the first time, it was like, you know, it my brain, it was like, okay. And she's coming back. Like, what's going on? Yeah. You know? And I was like, the light came on. It went from pure black to the light coming on. And it was like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, people who don't exercise, they don't understand how important it is for just to release any type of negativity, any type of tension, mm-hmm. any type of stress, anything, even yoga, you know, learning how to breathe and just be at peace for some time because our lives are so busy and so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just having that time for yourself.
Yeah.
And I never did that my whole life. I was always about the children and put the children first. And I always put myself last. And I needed this time to put myself first. And my husband knew that. And I did. And that was it. I was hooked. Once I found out in spin class that I could be my own doctor,
yep.
not take medicine, take control of my life, and get as much medicine and get as high as I wanted, I was there every day. It's a good high. It's a yeah. healthy high.
Oh, yeah.
It's you could take on the world. I'm telling you, anybody who does not do spin or exercise, it's the way to go.
Yeah,
it
really
is. And you look good.
Yeah. And you look good.
And you look good.
Look it.
See? It does it.
It sure does. Yeah, you look amazing.
So those are bonuses. Yeah. You know?
Those are big deal. And a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, when you exercise, you know, you release those endorphins. And then also when you combine music with it, music does the same thing. So it's kind of like double duty. I call it the opportunist method.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, really? Get as many of those.
That's true.
I
never realized that because yeah. it is the music. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I love my music,
yeah.
but I never connected that piece as far as, I mean, I know it's there because I'm creating a beat track right now and I go and spin and
right.
people have asked me, you know, are you going to be an instructor or are you I get asked every day and it's like, no, I don't know how to do anything like that. You know?
Oh, you could. Sky's the
you
limit.
Never know, right? I know, I'm looking into it because I love it so much.
Oh, and yeah, you'd be great at it.
Yeah, and I even, I actually had the state fire marshal on a spin bike, Paul Parisi, who is from New Hampshire. And I didn't know who he was, and here he is with him and I is spinning. I'm, get on that bike! Get on that! And so for firefighters that suffer from post-traumatic stress, mm-hmm. They just go home and it's all bottled up and they don't have a release.
Yeah.
You know, even moms, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that are home all yes. day with children mm-hmm. and, you know, the workout club has daycare. Go get your medicine.
That's right.
Go do you. So for me, that was it. I started swimming. I started doing bar. I started doing anything Pilates, you know, I do that. I was up in Londonderry. I was down in Salem. I was there 3 hours a day. I was like, okay, I know now when the light ain't on, I got to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the hardest thing, but once you get into the rhythm of doing it, it's like air. It's like you just, it's unbelievable. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because it's your mental sanity. And then I ask God to give me the strength to get up and do it. Help me get up.
Yes.
Because sometimes I'm fearful when I'm in that place. Like, I just want to stand to the covers and I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But with him,
yeah.
I'm not. Nothing. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So that's it for me. So there's my spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go get my mental. And then I try to eat. I do very well with that. And water. Water is huge, too. Like, just saying, water's
yeah.
big.
Water's a thing.
We have to, they say if you have one bottle of water, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, an hour before you do anything, It just detoxifies. It's the best way to start off the day. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's so true.
It is. It's amazing. Water is life too. So then you have that aspect, and then you have like the physical, you know what I mean? So I guess to answer your question, what is the definition of, what did you say? Healthy?
Yeah.
What is the definition of healthy? Mind, body, and spirit all in one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's, we came to that.
It really is.
I couldn't answer that before when you asked me.
But you just totally worked it out.
We did. I always do that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's amazing.
It is.
That really is, you know, it's sometimes it's just a matter of stopping.
That's what I was trying to tell you. Like,
to
process.
Yeah.
And work through it. That's what I was trying to tell you. Like at the, when I meet people and stuff and you say, I'm inspirational. It's not, you see, because you asked me that question. I really didn't know how to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
You allowed me to speak, and then I figured it out, which I probably knew all along. I just didn't know that I knew. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you've inspired me in that way to make another connection. Also, too, with the music. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I know the music is an important part.
Yeah.
I need it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize, like, that when I dance, it's all to my music. That releases, you know, my happy place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
So, I love what you said about, I mean, I love everything you said. The way you explained that was very clear. And I know you said you were just kind of processing it as you were sharing it.
Yeah.
But it was very clear.
Oh.
It was very clear. And
good.
So that's going to resonate with a lot of people.
I hope so.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
Because sometimes when we're in that place, we feel like there's nothing we can do. And we forget the power that we have. And then on top of that, the power that God has.
Right.
So I love what you said, how... You know, how he is the one that kind of helps you.
Everything.
You know, like when you're in that fearful place, that he's the one that helps you
yeah.
get out and go and gives
right.
you like that clarity. There's one scripture that always comes to mind. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. And that's exactly what you described.
Oh, that's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah. And so that brings me back to, you had another experience, I think, that you shared with me during Easter, unless I got it confused.
No, you're probably right.
Did you have another experience with your other daughter, Alicia,
yes.
during birth?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that something you want to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, it changed my life, you know, and I think, like, when we talk about, you know, our past and stuff, and I wouldn't want to obviously hurt or disrespect anyone. You
right.
know what I
of
mean?
Course.
But it's my past. It's mine. My interpretation and my perception of it
mm-hmm.
is mine and mine alone. And, you know, but at the same time, you know what I mean? I would like to be respectful for the people involved. But with that said, yeah, it wasn't... It wasn't good, but my fourth child, Alicia, so for people, obviously a lot of people don't know, I had child after child after child. So like 16, 17, 18, 19, they just kept coming. So Alicia was my fourth one, and, you know, I love her. She's like, I just love that kid. She's still very close to me today. Like, she'll even call me now that I'm working, and she'll be like, I don't have my mom anymore. She was like, can I come over? And I'm just like, of course you can. Oh, she'll be laying in my bed when I get there. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm close to all of them, but she, you know, I have a very, very close connection with her because of what did happen. And that experience was horrific. It actually was a horrific experience for me. And I basically entered into the hospital at 5.5 months pregnant. It was a student teaching hospital. Yeah. So, and at that time, I didn't have that great of insurance. Let's just say it was probably on the poverty level of the worst that you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
And they obviously wanted her to stay inside of me and grow. And so they put me on all kinds of drugs to keep her, you know, sedated and growing.
Mm-hmm.
So Okay. Yeah. So every day they were putting something on me or in me or whatever, in me, just so that she wouldn't come. She wanted to come. She wanted to come into the world.
She had a lot to do.
She did. I think at that point in my life, I had felt very abandoned by God. I was very angry with him, and for numerous reasons. And I don't even know if I should even go into them, but I was very angry with him. And to get a sense of it, you know, being married at 16 years old due to Catholic faith, and that's what you're supposed to do. You know, this is what all my sisters getting married, you know, we're kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was the one that tried to run out of the church. And I had to get back down there. So, yeah, I was told, nope. Get back down that aisle, you know. So I took my role very well, you know, at 16, well, 17 at that point, when I actually walked down the aisle.
That's interesting, because you don't really hear of that a lot here. I hear of it more in, like, other countries.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was my doing. I had gotten pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But my family's belief is, you know, and anyone, you're with one man, you stay with one man. That's it. You're done. You get married. That's it. There is, you know, and, you know, all of us girls, I mean, I have five sisters. So all of us girls, I mean, that's just the way that it was, you know. And I believe my sister Maria, I think she was younger. I think she was 16 or 15 or 16. But, you know, it's just a very, to embody the concept of marriage at that age.
Yeah.
I just remember going to leave the church, and my mom said, this is something, you did this, so I have to follow through with it. You know, I got pregnant, I'm time to start my life, you know, go start it. Mm-hmm. And I did. So with that said, going up to the, if we fast forward, going up to the point of the hospital, it was a very, very rough run prior to the hospital. There was a lot that I had suffered within that marriage as a woman. That woman should not suffer, you know, but I did. And, you know, there's good too, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to say it was all bad, but there was a lot at that age to handle. So in the hospital, My resentment towards God was like, okay, I wasn't living the life that I wanted to live, whether as a dancer or attorney. Like, I had a passion. I wanted to go to school. I love being educated. I loved learning. Even to the point where I was living in an attic apartment at the age of 17, and I begged my sister Nina to watch Christina so that I could go to high school. So she would skip school. She would skip school and come over and babysit so I could go to school.
Oh.
Yeah. She was walking by my house trying to get to school, and she'd stop in, and she hated school. So she's like, Ed, you go to school, I'll stay here with the kid, you know? And we were kids, you know?
Yeah.
But in any case, there was a lot there as far as my resentments towards God, which I won't get into all of them, but there is a lot there. I was never protected. I never had a father. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? To say the least. So, in any case, in that hospital, like I said, they put me on all kinds of drugs and everything. And I just had anger to him. My grandmother came one day, and because I was suffering, and I didn't really, you know, people couldn't visit me. I was out in the middle of nowhere. I think I had a couple of visitors twice. And my grandmother was one of them, and she gave me the footprints in the sand prayer. Mm-hmm. And I had never read it before. And I was, like, looking at it, and I'm just like, you know, whatever. Like, because I was so cold from the things that had happened to me in my life that I was shut off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From anything spiritual.
Yeah.
And just very angry. You know, I didn't understand. I mean, I went to a Catholic school for 6 years where they hit your hand with the ruler if you don't write, which I'm very grateful for because I do have great penmanship to this day. Sister Agnes Clare. Okay. But in any case, the resentments were there. So she gave me the prayer. I read it. And for those who don't know, the footprints in the sand prayer, it's about a man who has passed and is walking on the beach with God.
And he turns to God and he said, you know, you told me that if I ever chose to follow you, you would always be there by my side. And I only see one set of footprints in the sand. And God turns to him and says, it was because in that moment, that was when I carried you. Okay.
Really?
So, after all of the testing and everything, I just got to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. She wanted to come. And I'll never forget this. You know, one of the nurses had come in and I told her I needed to go to the bathroom. And she said that she would be back, and obviously she may have gotten busy or whatever. Another nurse had come in. I said I needed to go to the bathroom, and she helped me get to the door and then left me there. So she was very young. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if she was a student as well. Left me there, and I ended up falling. And I ended up, because Alicia's head was there. Like, I could feel, you know, she was coming. So, and I remember crawling to the toilet, and this is kind of like vulgar, but, you know, I was sitting on the toilet and just, you know, I'm exposed. I didn't have anything. And I just remember screaming, you know, and I had the footprints in the prayer in my hand. And I was just, you know, I said, I don't care. I said, what you went through on that cross, it can't be anything that I suffered in my life. Remote, like, you can't compare it, because it had been so much, you know what I'm saying?
And
I was angry. I was very angry, you know. I think about that moment, I don't get emotional, but very lonely journey, you know, my life. But so, and I felt abandoned, you know, and that's by everybody, you know, except for my sister Nina. She's always there for me. But in any case, I was in a lot of pain, you know, and I just wanted my journey in this world to be over. Like, I really didn't want to be here anymore. And that was because there was a lot of abuse involved, you know. But so I ended up going back to the bed. And then what ended up happening was that they brought in the student to do the epidural. And he missed, and then he missed again, and then he missed again, and he kept jabbing my back, and I should have been paralyzed, but I wasn't.
Wow.
So at that point I had nothing on, and I was completely exposed, and I ended up, defecating, and I ended up vomiting and swallowing it to the point where I was going into a convulsion because I was choking. I couldn't breathe, and they couldn't get it out of me. And then I went into cardiac arrest, and I had been gone exactly for 2 minutes and 50 seconds. That's on my record, but they brought me back, and you know, during that time, and this is the part had changed my life, you know. And I remember. Because people always say, you know, what did you see? What did you? And I do remember looking back and seeing my body. Mm-hmm. But I remember God putting his arms around me, mm-hmm. you know, like a baby. I didn't see his face, just for the record. but, you know, he put his arms around me. And he, you know, I said to him, I was like, you know, I was like, whatever's back there, I don't want to go. Don't send me back there, please, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he said, I'm going to send you back. He said, and I'll make it worth your while. Then I met my husband. And he made it worth my while. But I went on to have 2 more children after Alicia. But so he sent me back. And I remember, you know, as I was going to give birth to her, there was 4 intensive care unit people on each side waiting for her to be born brain dead, waiting for her to be born with underdeveloped lungs. And that's just simply because of all the testing and the drugs and stuff like that, you know. I know, pretty intense. But
I remember sitting up, and the midwife, I had a midwife, I didn't have a doctor there, but midwife is a doctor, but in any case, I didn't think it was then, you know what I'm saying, but it is. So I remember looking at her and her saying to the people, you know, why is she laughing? Because I was laughing, I was smiling, I was laughing. Now, if you think about when a woman gives birth, we ain't laughing. And it wasn't because I was on drugs. Trust me, that had happened several hours prior to. Those had worn off. But I was smiling, and I still somehow had that footprints in the sand.
In your hand?
In my hand. Either it was in my hand or it was on the bed. It was there, wow. Right? I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, and I remember saying, and I remember seeing the prayer, and I remember saying, you know, he's carrying me for the first time in my life. You know, I was being carried. And it's just, it's overwhelming because, you know, when you go through life and you go through things, you think that you're alone and you think that you're unloved and you think all these things, but you're not. You know, we're not alone. And it, my Alicia came out perfect. You know, she came out breathing on her own, no brain damage. She was perfect. 3 pounds, but perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was incredible. Yeah,
that was incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, ever since then, I just, you know, me and God, like, he rides shotgun with me everywhere I go. He's on the passenger. And then sometimes, you know, if I'm not looking over there, my mind wanders, I'll turn around, and then there's the old boy right there sitting next to me, too. He's always there, too.
I know.
To pull me back.
Following you, yeah. Yes.
I never know who I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Depends on if the light comes out or not. But I turn it on. You know what I mean? But it's a struggle.
Yeah.
Every day. Because, you know, we're not perfect. But, you know, I think that that's true. That's part of our journey.
Yeah.
You know, like, he put us here. We're here for a very short time. Mm-hmm. We come into the world with nothing. We leave with nothing. Mm-hmm. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. We start off as a baby, most of us, and hopefully get to the point where you end up like a baby. Because when you get older, you're back in a diaper.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
We're trying not to think about that
I
part.
I know, sorry. But I mean, you know, it's the process. And I believe that it's life and death. And, you know, it's very quick. So everything that we do here while we're here is to help people. It's really not about us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We all have a purpose. Yeah. And that's why when I'm at the gym and I want these people, I put them on a bike or I want them to get healthy, it's because they don't know. They know they're suffering.
Right.
They just don't know why or what they can do. It's not that they don't know why. It's what can they do to help themselves.
Yeah.
And we have everything there to help them. So... yeah, that's my story.
Wow. I never heard that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
You've had a lot of responsibility all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because in the beginning you said that you used to put just your kids first and yourself last, which I think we can do pretty easily as moms.
Yeah, we all do. We love them.
And now you've kind of like flip-flopped that a little bit. So I'm curious to know, like, if you could give us an example of a day, like when you were in the thick of it, mm-hmm. you know, when your kids were younger.
Yeah.
And then maybe an example of like what your day might be like now that your kids are older.
Oh, okay. So if I was to pick a day... back in the day when they were all younger. You want to know what it looked like, my day looked like in one day?
I do.
Okay,
yes. Here we go. I want to know how did you do it? Like, how did you survive? How did you manage to, like, grow these amazing children and still, you know, not lose yourself?
Not lose myself. Again, you know, it definitely has to come from spirituality, even though I had felt how I felt. I don't think he ever left me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he didn't leave me. I just thought that he did. Mm-hmm. But my day, on any given day, I literally probably slept about 4 hours a night. And I think that from having children so young and helping my mom, because I was the oldest girl.
Oh,
so
did I'm you say you had nine brothers and sisters?
Yeah, well, eight. I'm the ninth one. Okay. She did have 10, but she had lost one. So, yeah, so I have eight. And then, but I was the oldest, so I was third down. And then the rest were under me. But so I had a lot of responsibility at a very young age. Which is good because it helped me when I had my own, you know. So it was a good experience. Good work ethic.
You were
bred well.
You were fully trained.
Yeah. So
you're prepared.
Yeah. I think I did end up going to college. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, you know, still educating myself, which I feel is very important. You know, I think you always should never stop learning. And I love that because it helps the brain. But a day in my life back then, I think because I had the children so young, I was always either pregnant or one was up all night. One was in diapers. One was learning to walk. One was on its way. I was getting pregnant again. I don't know.
It was just a way of life.
I don't even know what that was. okay. But, so my day, literally, because I worked, too. So this was at the time, you know.
Oh, really?
A full-time job.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
Wait, full-time job. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I just don't have any more excuses for myself. I'll try not to ever complain again about not having time. So you were in school full-time.
Well, worked full-time, so I was in school, and I also had a part-time job. But then when school ended, I had to go into a full-time position. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So
it was. And did you have all six at that time?
Yes, all six at that time. So I will give you a visual of me in my van heading to Woburn. And I had one baby in the back seat. They actually didn't want me to leave the office. So they wanted me to continue to work even while I was pregnant. So I was pregnant and I had one in the back seat. And then once Aubrey came, I had them both in the back seat. So then I would have one at the swing set up in my office, and then I'd have the bassinet in my office while I'm trying to work. They loved me. And they wanted to keep me. Mm-hmm. So they were like, okay, you can have your kids here. Put me in a back office in the back. Took care of my children while I worked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's unique.
Yeah, it was. They liked me, you know. So, and I needed to work, you know what I'm saying? So, and then after working a full-time job, so my day literally started probably at 4:00 in the morning. And I would have to go and take my ex-husband to work at the low train station, come back, get the kids up, get their lunches made, get them dressed, get myself to dress, take them to school, and then head to Woburn with the two babies. And by the time I got to work at night,
probably exhausted.
And I go home. I want to go home. You know, it was a lot. And then so I had to work a full-time 9-to-5. And then once I left there, come from Woburn back to Draycott, because I lived in Draycott, and then go pick him up at the low train station, put him in the car, go get the kids at the green one at the daycare, then head home. We'd walk in the house at 7:00. Then I had to do dinner, homework, baths, this, that.
Woo!
Yeah, started all over again.
Wow.
So I don't really sleep to this day. I think it's a part of my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I have sleeping issues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about 4 hours of night that, you know, I get. And sometimes if I'm lucky, you know, I'll get the eight. Depending on Kathy. Kathy made me this oil. She made me this amazing oil at the gym. And it's all natural. It's organic.
Oh,
put me out for 9 hours the other night.
Really?
Like, oh,
what did
my
you do?
Gosh.
Put it on your temples, like an essential oil blend?
It's amazing. It's you put a little on your wrist and you put it behind your ears. And it's obviously it's got lavender, organic. It's got some stuff in it, but I've been for the last week, hands down, 9-10. I'm like, okay, wait.
Wow. Hey,
yeah, so Kathy
don't underestimate those essential oils.
I know. Kathy made me this little concoction, and she was like, it says on it, sweet dream. She's like, try this. And I'm like, okay, so. I've been sleeping for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's natural, so it's good.
Yeah.
So that was what a day in my life looked like. But and I will tell you that, honestly, I just, it came from, it's kind of like when I was younger and I told you that, you know, I wanted to be the best mom I could be. I wanted my kids to have the best opportunities and, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever I was capable of doing, because we didn't have any money at all. I mean, strictly poverty, you know what I'm mm-hmm, saying? Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to give that to them. And so I just, I said that when I was 16, when I had my first one, I will be the best mother. And that's something that drove my boat every day.
Yeah.
Made me get up. It made me fight. It made me fight for my kids. It made me, you know what I'm saying? It made me go to work. It made me, because I just loved them so much. And I didn't want them to have to suffer or go through anything that I had ever experienced.
Yeah.
Really, that's all, really where it came from. And God giving me the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's my strength. And even to this day, you know, my life is really, really chaotic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Each child to their own. There's a few black sheep out there in my group. There's ones that, you know, are 100% committed, and then there's ones that need to be committed. No kidding. No, I'm not. But, you know, they're all different.
Yeah.
But, you know, we love them all.
Yeah.
Just the same. And I pray for the ones that are struggling.
Yeah.
I think teenage years are hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they get such great strengths, though, too. And I see that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me and my husband, which he does all of the talking. You know what I mean? He's got all the patience and the talking. And then I'm the one that's the force. You know what I mean? So we work well together, you know. But I think they'll get to where they need to get. And mm-hmm. I hope that they can look and see that I loved them so much that, you know, I just don't want them to suffer from anything. You know what I mean? I want to protect them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old they get. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if they make wrong decisions or put themselves in harmful situations, it's like as they get older, you don't have any control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any control anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't say you're grounded, you're going in your room.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so hard because we never really had control to begin with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You do with grounding and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. again, there's a certain extent they are who they are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As moms, we can protect them and we can control things that are going around. But people that come in their life and influence them when they're out there in the world, we can't prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we just hope that we've given them enough knowledge to decipher between what's right and what's wrong, what's mm-hmm. going to hurt them and what isn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that's the part of being a mother I don't like.
It's scary. Yeah. It's scary. I mean, Penelope's 2.5. I'm already scared of everything.
Scared.
You stay with me.
Yeah. Well, because you give them life. They grow inside of you and you love them so much and you know what this world looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes it isn't pretty. And mm-hmm. you don't ever want them to experience that. Mm-hmm. You know? But you can't stop it.
I know.
I think that's the thing.
I know.
But, you know, I will say, you know, my girls are very strong, independent women, you know, that are good mothers.
Yeah. So, not surprising.
Yeah. They did get that a little bit from me. So, yeah. So that's good.
So what would you say a day in your life now is like, hang on, let me actually...
I would say, as far as, like, honestly, I'm at a point in my life where, you know how you and I were talking about the definition of being healthy and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point now, because I just turned 46, where the focus is a lot on my mental. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I would probably be in a psych ward somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes it, it sounds, I know it sounds drastic,
mm-hmm.
but it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do focus a lot on my mental health and my physical. And now that I'm working at the workout club, you know, my energy and everything is invested in everybody around me. just trying to help them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I've been through the gust of it with the children. I've been there. I mean, they sucked the life out of me. And now they're older. I mean, 25.
Really?
Right? They're older. It's not like they're little babies anymore. You know? They're independent and stuff like that. So, you know, now that I'm here over at the workout club, it's like I've always wanted to be able to just give, if I could change or help anyone. Because it's like the children, you know, they love me and everything. And yeah, you know, you influence them and stuff. But I think when they're your children, I think they don't hear certain things. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. as far as, like, they just don't.
Yeah.
It goes in, like, one ear and out the other. And I'm, you know, they see.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, it's like, it's different. Like, if I talk to a stranger, the stranger could embrace everything that I'm saying because I'm really trying to help them. But if I'm talking to my child and I'm really trying to help them, it's like, okay, Ma, whatever. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's redundant and it's repetitive. So they don't see it as, they don't see it like that. You know what I mean? And I want that so bad. It's just like, why can't you just grasp what I'm saying, because I love you so much, and that's my own child.
You know?
And don't get me wrong, sometimes they take away and they feel so much better, and then other times they don't want to listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because there's so many, you know, I get different, diverse, everybody's different. You know, I get the calls all day, and then some days it's overwhelming. You know what I mean? And then some days it's not. So,
yeah.
And to each of their own when they're going through different things. Each child goes through something different every single day. And I have to be able to make sure that I'm 100% to be able to help them. You know what I mean? With their adult life and adult decisions. Because these decisions that you're making can affect you for the rest of your life. And I think it's really difficult to, even when you're young, the kids are young, and you want to be the best mom possible. Well, now they're older and they're making adult decisions that could steer them down the wrong path. And if you're not 100%, you really can't be for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're self-absorbed and you're not invested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as people, I think that we can be selfish sometimes, you know? Sometimes I don't want to deal. Leave me alone. Shut my phone. Like, you know, I'm done. Then the next one calls me. Ma, where are you? Next one calls me. Ma. You know, it's just like, ma. And I'm like, I'm going in the spin class and I'm going to go take my sneakers and I'm going to go spin. I'm going to go cry on the bike. I'm going to go do whatever I have to do, but I'm going to do it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you get those days where they just say something that, you know, you go, oh, did good. So it's a mix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that I'm over at the workout club, I get to embrace those people that need help and change them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're changing. I see the people that I sign up changing. They're coming back. They talk to me and they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing weight. They're doing this. They're doing that. And it's like, I'm so proud of them. You know what I mean?
I know.
I'm so proud of them because it's not easy. It's not easy. But when you make that commitment here first to put yourself first, because if you're not good, you're not good for anybody. If you're run down, if you're burnt out, if you're stressed out, if you're carrying anxiety, if you have depression, if you have all of these things that are going on, how can you be completely whole to be able to deliver? What you will be delivering is all of that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in all different forms. It comes in the form of yelling. It comes in the form of closing your door and not wanting to deal. It comes in the form of, you know, picking up a drink. It comes in many different forms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just very important, you know what I mean, for me now at this point in my life too. And it's not always consistent. I fight every day for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, no, it's not perfect at all. It's a a train wreck.
But
at least I'm driving that train.
Oh, punchline.
Right?
It's a train wreck, but at least I'm driving that train.
Yeah. Oh,
so amazing. Yeah, no, I'm totally, you brought a lot of things to light for me, you know, especially to think about on my own journey.
Oh, really?
You know?
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot.
Good.
Like you said, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's good. I mean, I hope that this is why I was doing this. You know what I'm saying? Because if anybody can take anything from, you know, my experiences, they can say, hey, you want to know what? Like, I can relate to that, or I can relate to that, or I feel that way. You know what I mean? Because we're all women, and we feel so much, and sometimes it's to a fault. You know what I mean? It's to a fault because we want our world to be perfect. You know what I mean? And it's just simply not, and nor will it ever be. It just needs to be livable. With happiness, right? Yeah. With lots of happiness. Doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect.
Right.
But as long as it keeps spinning. When it stops spinning, that's a problem.
my mantra these days is perfect imperfection. Because if you try and get caught up in perfection, you'll just stay paralyzed.
That's what it is. Absolutely. Paralyzed with fear that you're not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think, like, you know, what is everybody's perception of perfect? You know,
you're onto something there.
Yeah, like, you know, people, they look at me and they look at, you know, oh, you've had this children and look at your body and all of this stuff, and they don't see what I see. You know what I mean? You could say all that, and it's great, and yeah, do I have a level of confidence within me as a woman because I've worked that hard to get there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not for lack of effort, trying, believe me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they look at me and they say that, and it's like, you know, but I work really hard to get there, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody can get there. But when I look in the mirror, I see something that's totally the opposite. I see, and it's not, I want to say it's called body dysmorphia, but I see a woman that has had 6 children, you know, a woman that is aged, a woman that has been through a lot. Now, you see, it's the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is giving me the visual. I'm not seeing the physical in front of the mirror. It's what I've been through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That kind of takes over.
Yeah.
That creates that dysmorphic figure in the mirror.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I have to constantly, in my mind, say, on certain days, I have to say, okay, you want to know what? Like, even getting dressed this morning, I was like, oh, my God, I can't wear this dress. Like, I can't. You know what I'm like? I'm like, my stomach here or this or that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And here I am. I'll look at. I totally just, my arms, I said it to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Should I take my jacket off now? Because my arms look like, because of my, I haven't been able to use my arm. It looks like it's aged.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just speaking. But it's truly what I think, like 24/7, that, and I'm like getting older, you know, women's bodies, they change every 7 years and mine's is changing, and I'm heading into my 50s, you know, it's right around the corner,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, and I'm struggling with that, you know what I'm saying? Because life happens and I'm going on to the next phase, and I just got to be able to embrace it and accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting older.
We all are.
Yes. On that journey.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing, too, I've learned recently is to just live in the moment. Just be in the moment. Like, if your daughter grabs your hand and her little hand is, like, it's tiny, it's warm,
it's sticky,
it's soft, it's sticky, it's candy, it's whatever, right? It's sticky. it's that moment where you feel everything that's going on with her, whether she just didn't get into the candy, whether it's in the ice cream, or whether it's just in the moment, you know, to appreciate it, because it doesn't last long. It's going to go like that. Mm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a blink of an eye, and you don't even realize that it's happening. And so what I'm learning now, last night, you know, before coming here, I was having anxiety all night. And I'm just like, you want to know what? Because I've never spoken or, you know, well, I speak to people, but I didn't know how to do any of this. So I was like, you know, I've been having all this anxiety. I'm like, you want to know what? When I come here, I'll just be in the moment, which I was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really hard to do in this setup. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't feel like natural.
Yes. And we have like a big crew behind there.
Yeah. Oh, we will. We're going to have our own talk show.
We could do it.
We could. That'd be fun, right?
It would be fun.
I can talk all day.
What are your three healthy hacks to keeping it together in style? Because like, you know you are always in style, right? Like, you know you're like a you fashion icon. Every time I see you, I'm like,
You think so?
Yeah. You always are making a statement. Yeah. You know how when you feel like a trainer,
yeah.
but you just pull it all together and you're like, stand tall and walk tall.
Oh, gosh. So I do something in my car.
I knew you had secrets. I knew this was... I would never ask anybody else this question, but I knew this. She had it's some secrets.
Oh, I got a lot of secrets. But so when I'm in that place, so I have this... Okay, so I have this one song, and it's Zach Williams, mm-hmm. and it's called Survivor, mm-hmm. and it's a religious song. Mm-hmm. And when I'm faced with, you know, diversity or anything coming against me, I get in the car and I sing. And I'm sure everybody does this. And I scream the song. I cry. But it's my go-to. It's my click. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, all right. So that's one thing. The other thing that I do, which is people going to probably find really weird... is that I sniff orange peels for...
Oh, that's not weird.
No.
Oh, that's okay. That's like using a like an essential oil, essentially, except it's the real essential oil. It's the orange.
Yeah, so the peels, and then what I do is and it's kind of crazy, but if you put your bum up against the wall uh-huh. and you put your feet up, and you lay your hands out to the side. So just say you're laying down.
Yeah.
But you're for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this rhythmic breathing.
Yep.
Where I fill my belly with air. And then I relax. Because for anxiety, fear, all of that stuff, what it does is it changes and alters the chemicals in your body. So I do that. Yeah. And while I sniff the peel. Like, you know what I mean? But when I'm, after that 15 minutes... And it's really, it's a breathing exercise that you have to do. You're laying there for 15 minutes, but the breathing is for 2 minutes. And it's a different kind of breathing. It's not just regular breathing.
Yeah.
It's basically you're breathing in and you're filling your stomach with the air. Like it's mm-hmm. a balloon. You have to see your stomach rise.
Okay.
And then, so you're counting like to 8, right? And okay. I'll see it filled and then I'll let it go. Slowly.
Through your nose or through your mouth? So you let
through my mouth. Everything is done through the mouth. Okay. So that's funny.
That the inhale and the exhale?
Yeah.
Oh,
everything. Okay. Everything. Yeah. Because you're listening. The whole thing is to listen to your breath. Okay. It's very difficult at first to learn to do, but I've mastered it. So, So you do that. Everything through the mouth, nothing through the nose. And then after 2 minutes, so you lay there for 15 and you just have your hands have to be like stretched. I can't really because of my arm I have.
That's okay.
Yeah. So straight out. And then you're just, when you get up, I mean, and obviously I smell the peels during that time. I pray during that time mm-hmm. too for God to give me strength. And it's basically just to recenter myself. Mm-hmm. It's just like I'm in that place and this is not good and I need to change it. I need to take a step back. You know what I'm saying? The other thing that I do too, I mean, you know, I go get my medicine, I get on that bike and I spin, and you want to know what? I think that giving, like I constantly give of myself to people.
Oh, generosity.
Yeah. Like I constantly give and in it, I get so much back. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it's like when people don't put themselves out there and they can become self-absorbed and dormant mm-hmm. and they're not willing to share for whatever reasons, because of their fear, because of their anxiety, because they have social anxiety, whatever that is. It's like they're preventing themselves from growing. Mm-hmm. You know, other people help you grow. I mean, you and I, you know, we've grown a lot this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, at least I have taken a lot, you know, even though I've done all the talking. I learn from myself sometimes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I talk and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're wiser than you know.
Right. So, you know, I think that's another, like, thing that I do. And then, I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Oh, those are great hacks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know, if you if I can call those hacks. They're like too nice to call hacks. They're nice practices to to do in a pinch like that.
Yeah. Everything that I try to do is oh, the other thing too is if I feel like that things aren't good and stuff and that I'm in a bad place, I run for 15 seconds in one place really fast. Oh, like I just run.
Oh, maniac.
Yeah. I'm a maniac. That's one of my favorite songs.
Do you have leg warmers?
I do. That's me. That's what I do. I do that because it just gets my brain activity
going.
Yeah, it gets me going and it's like, oh, all right, you know, I mean, even though I can't work out for now, there are things that you can do.
It's like a little jump start.
That helped me. So I that's have awesome. These go-to that's so
helpful.
Places.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Yeah, because most people, and, you know, I'm guilty of this too, and I see you're drinking coffee, but it doesn't mean, like, that's not your only tool.
Oh, right? God, no. I had my bottled water before I got here.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh, I have to get through this. Let me just get a coffee.
Yeah.
You know? And I never was a coffee drinker before because it just doesn't sit well with my body. Mm-hmm. I get weird, like, neurological, like, things, and it, like, spurs on, like, ocular migraines. But while I was pregnant with Levi, I could have coffee.
Oh.
Like a half a cup in the morning, half a cup in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so
that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've weaned myself mostly off, mm-hmm. but... You know, it's nice to remember.
Is it not good for you?
No, actually, a little bit of coffee is good for you. I just know it's not good for my body.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It just doesn't sit well with you.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, if you want to use coffee for a little jump start, I mean, it's like a vasodilator and it'll help you breathing and stuff like that. And a little bit of like stimulate some mental attention. But, you know, the thing with caffeine, if you're using caffeine for that, is it wears off. I mean, like you always have to like up the ante.
Well, that's what I was talking to you about, crashing and burning. Mm-hmm. Probably why. I don't even know it. No,
yeah.
The sugar.
But it's nice to remember there's these other things that you can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And that's, I have to do those. My go-to places. I know they sound quirky, but like, don't.
No, they're great. They're great. I think they're great. All right. So do you have anything else? Like if there's one thing that you haven't mentioned that you need to tell the world?
I would say just continue to... fight for your perfect.
Your perfect. I like that. That means you define your perfect.
You let them define it. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, whatever that looks like, you mm-hmm. know, you continue to work towards that every day. And don't forget to bring God into that.
Yeah.
He's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're perfect to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard to remember.
I know.
Well, hard to believe.
But I know. But we are. He made us.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that, because I know that was a lot of like personal information, and but I know that that is going to inspire a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that feel really alone, and you know, because as women, like, not everybody feels as free to talk about things. So a lot of times everything just stays bottled up and you have no idea that you're not alone. And so a lot of times we're like doing these battles, mm-hmm. like in isolation together, mm-hmm. but in isolation.
Right.
You know, so this is really, really empowering. So thank you so much.